Okay, need you to be really brave and bold. And what I'd like to hear is what are some of the most random, maybe even awkward jobs that you've ever held at any point in time in your life? Random job that you've had. Go.
Spray tanner.
That's amazing. God, I love this so much already. That's amazing. Spray tanner. Awesome. Other jobs.
Denny's hostess when there was smoking,
non-smoking. The whole thing was smoking. That's good. That's amazing. Denny's hostess. Love it. Random.
Grocery store clerk before scanners.
Say it again.
Before scanners.
So you had to type in all the numbers. Well, God bless your fingers. That's amazing. All right, yes.
Ticket factory.
Sticky?
Stickers.
Oh, stickers. You worked at a sticker factory, like they were making stickers. That's incredible. God, we got stories in this church. I love it. Yeah?
Scrubbing barnacles off of a buoy.
Scrubbing barnacles off of a buoy. That is an amazing job. Yes. What'd you say?
Detasseling
corn. I didn't even know that's what that was called. That's incredible. That's amazing.
And then I turned around to that corn that was in a corn crib that was like a couple stories high. I had to climb into the top of it and knock it all down and get it out.
Oh my gosh. You guys are corn buddies. That's amazing. That's incredible. Any, one more? Yes. Yes, God bless the shag carpet at the Pizza Hut. That's just a lot of pepperoni residue up in there. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, these are incredible jobs. I want to now have coffee with all of you and hear about these jobs. The most random job that I had is I was a denture delivery boy. And what I did is I graduated from college, but I felt called into the ministry, but the Lord was like, had me in a holding pattern. So I had to do something. So I got a job for what are the dental technicians. And these dental technicians are the guys who actually build the dentures and partials or whatever. And then they would put them on little forms. And so I just had buckets of little chompers. And what I would do is I would take this work and pick up work from all the dentists around the panhandle of Texas and eastern New Mexico. And I drove 11 hours a day, 3 days a week, delivering and dropping off and picking up dentures for everyone. And let me just tell you, it's the least glorious place to drive in the universe. West Texas and eastern New Mexico, and when you go through the cow towns like Hereford, it's just a lot of like up in your nostril bad, all right? But that's what I did. And we are probably, none of us any longer doing those jobs. We did them for a season because we had to or we needed to in order to, you know, be able to afford our lives, but it was never going to work. My denture delivery job was just never going to work. And I'm not against it. I'm so glad those people have teeth today. But it wasn't in my heart to do that. You can do work for a little bit. You can give energy to things that you're not passionate about if you have to. But that job was never going to work out because what you want is a heart that's big for what you're putting your time, energy, and effort into. None of those jobs were ever going to work out for you because it wasn't your passion. You did it for a season. But there's a reason that you're not doing that anymore. And the reason is love will outwork work every time. Love will outwork work every time. You could do work. But when you have something burning alive in you, you can go. You can invest. You can be full in. Even if the job is hard or the job is challenging, I am quite certain you have heard the phrase, doing a labor of love. What does that mean? You do have a labor of love. It means You had to give quite a bit to it. You had to give energy. Maybe it was even difficult for you in some way, shape, or form. But you did it because you loved it. It was awesome. You enjoyed it. Now, there are tasks that must be done. We all have to do, right? You will have to clean out the garage at some point, right? Cleaning out the garage. There are very few people in the world that love cleaning out the garage. There's maybe a few of you. And for those of you that do it, it usually your garage never gets to where you actually have to clean it out, those of you that love to do it. But the rest of us, that's not a labor of love. It's a labor that we do. It's just not that we love. You might be glad for the end result, but it's not something you're doing because it's burning in your heart. There are things that we were meant to bring our full heart to. There are things that we bring our full heart to because it's what we love. It's different. You work, you'll sacrifice, you'll even bleed, sweat because it's meaningful to you. And all of a sudden, it stops being work. Now, even the best jobs will have parts of it that you don't necessarily love or maybe feel tedious or laborious to you. That's the truth because we live in a broken world. But by far and large, when you have something that is alive inside of you, it is fuel to do what you do. When you bring your heart to a task, to a job, to a person, it kind of redefines everything about it because it's coming from a place of hunger, desire, love. And it's not even suffering because it matters so much. And so when we bring our heart to our lives, it empowers us to be able to step into and be present with whatever it is that we do. It doesn't really matter, jobs, family, careers, tasks. You bring your heart to it, it's fuel, it's energy. But if that's true, then the converse is true, which is when there's no heart, you'll run out pretty quick. When we lose heart, we actually miss out on presence. Heart's not there. You don't get to be present and to show up and be there all in for it. And we often, even when we think about matters of faith, alive, growing, when heart's not in it, it is duty or drudgery or maybe even empty. I don't know if you've ever even felt that way about faith. You might even be here this morning. You're here and you're at church, but the heart's not connecting. Maybe we know that church or God or religion or even Christianity is something maybe we're supposed to do, but the heart is not there. And so when we lose heart, we end up not being able to experience fullness. Now, I want to just describe what fullness is, because what does it mean when I say fullness, like full life? Because fullness is not perfection, right? Fullness is presence. Fullness isn't perfect. That doesn't exist this side of heaven. Fullness is presence. What do I mean by that? Jesus says, I came to give you, John chapter 10, I came to give you life and life to the full. Life and life to the full. These are his words. There's a thief that wants to steal from you, but I've come to give you life, but not just life, life to the full. Now, what does he mean by that? Because it can't mean perfection. Meaning you can give your whole heart to Jesus, and that is not a guarantee that your life will now be perfect. You can receive his perfection, in fact, that's the impartation that he gives to us, but it's not a promise that you'll never have pain, is it? When Jesus says, I came to give you life and life to the full, was he saying you'll never have pain? Or you'll never have sorrow? Or you'll never have hurt? Or you'll never have fear? That wasn't the promise. So when Jesus says, I came to give you life and life to the full, what does he mean? He says, I came to give you life and I came to be present fully I came to give you my presence. I gave you me. Give us himself, his presence over us through thick and thin, his word, his heart, his peace, his courage, his power, his mercy, his forgiveness. We get him. I came to give you life and life to the full, meaning I'm present through everything you're going through. It's not that your circumstances will be perfect. I will be with you through it all. This is why, by the way, Christianity will not work only as a religion, meaning as a system of rules and regulations. It doesn't work as a system only for morality. It doesn't work as a means only for telling you what you should do and shouldn't do if you're trying to make this thing called church or religion or morality work as a system of living. It breaks down. In other words, it's garage cleaning. Christianity without presence is just cleaning the garage. Jesus was saying, I've come to give you so much more. I've come to give you my presence, to be fully present with you no matter what you are walking through. I came to give life and life to the full. And if you're here and you've come to get presence, to get life to the full, well, now you and I get to discover something that nothing else can do for us. No other religion will give to you. No other human can give to you. No other philosophy can give to you. Presence is the answer to what you and I need, to have hearts that are alive, to show up to our lives fully. Jesus is saying, I'll show up to you fully so you can get me, so you can show up fully to the world around you. That's at the center of how and why we come to the Word. The reason we open the Scripture, the reason even we come here and show up to this place is to come to the Word to get presence, in order to get heart, to even put down the conventional ways of thinking and to have something imparted to us that's beautiful, that's glorious, that's powerful. That's what we're all longing for. Jesus is saying, come get your heart attended to by a person, by me. Come get your heart attended to. Romans chapter 12 actually lays out the picture. We've had a chance to talk about this text at all different times before, but it lays out this picture. And it says this. Here's how you come and get your heart attended to by Jesus. Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, here's what the text is saying. You come to get your heart attended to. The first thing God's asking is, will you show up to God? Show up to God. In other words, bring your bodies. What he's saying is you got to show up here to him. Bodies means presence. Holy and acceptable means something's going to be imparted to you. Is anybody holy and pure and perfect on their own merit? Has anyone done that? I don't know anyone. You'd be an atheist here and go, I haven't gotten anywhere near that. Every one of us knows far from that. So how do you present holy and blameless Show up. Bring your whole presence. It's not just make sure you're doing good things. What is he saying? Bring your bodies as a living sacrifice, open, wide open. Bring yourself. Thing doesn't really work any other way. Your presence to God. And what he's saying is that's your act of worship. You show up. Show up to him. Bring the whole thing. I am present. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. I've been hiding from this issue. Here I am, Lord. I'm afraid of the future, afraid to trust you, afraid to obey you. Here I am, Lord. I'm beset with this addiction. Here I am, Lord. I'm angry over this circumstance. Here I am. Show up. Bring it. Present your bodies wide open to this one who is able. Telling the truth about who you are, where you're at, you show up to this king. And then when you show up to him, scripture says, you get to lay down what is false. Lay down what's broken. You show up and you lay it down. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Then do not be conformed to this world. In other words, here's what's going on. Here are my thoughts. Here's the way of the world. Here's how I would fix this. Here, God, is what I think you should do in my life, right? Have you ever prayed that way before? No? Here is my coworker, Janice, what she tells me to do, right? Here's what the news or the app or ChatGPT is telling me to do. Here is what is conventional, and I'm just laying it down. You want to do Romans 12, you got to bring yourself, everything, bring it before God, and then you get to say, now here's the way that the entire world is thinking about this, and here's how I might be thinking about this. And here's what the conventional wisdom and the thought of the day, and here's what I think the enemy is trying to say to me. And I lay this down because the way of the world is garage cleaning. It's work. And you don't want to do that. There's no fuel for life in it. And then we just, show up fully. We lay down what's false, what's broken. Here's the lies that I believe. Here's what the enemy is trying to tell me. And then we finally just get to receive what is true. So we lay it down. And then it says, verse 2, be transformed. Let your mind be refreshed, renewed, changed, that by testing you can discern, know what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, being transformed, hear this, is to say, I'm laying down the way of the world. I'm laying down the lies that have come over me. I'm laying down what is false. I'm letting go of the places I've tried to hold on to or be in control of, and I'm bringing myself to you, God, and here's my question. What do you say, God? What do you say? What do you say, God? What does God have to give with his presence? Meaning he's asking you to be present because he's ready to be present. Don't run, don't hide, come receive. What does it mean to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? It's to say, I'm letting go of what is broken and old, and I'm receiving, God, what you have to say over my life. This is the invitation. Every one of us had like invitation to have this with God. Sounds incredible in theory, but then, so how do we do it? So Here's what I want to do. I just want to take a minute with the power of the word to just let God speak over us this morning, and we'll just take a few minutes to do it here at the end. It's just, instead of like preaching about it, let's just do it. How's that sound? Be better. In fact, we so need to hear from God. Appreciate the opportunity to be a preacher, but you don't need to hear from a preacher. You need the word of the Father. You don't need another song. You need the word of the Father over you. So here's, I'm going to give you four things that God wants to speak over you right now. You can write these down. You can take notes. Or if you want to just close your eyes and let this wash over you. But I almost can guarantee one of these things, and there's not only four things that God wants to speak over you. There's 412 million things that God wants to speak over you, okay? I just picked four. Inevitably, there are one of these that you need to hear today. You're tired, you are longing, you are hoping, you are afraid, you have questions. You will need one of these words over you. And that's what we want to do, is just hear from the Father through his word and receive it. And so that's what I want to do. Four things God wants to speak over you. Number one, you have the pleasure of the Father. Everybody look at me. You have the pleasure of the Father. If you are here in Christ, you have his pleasure. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father. He says, I am them. He says, I'm in them. Father, you're in me. They can be one so that the world may know that you sent me, the Father sent me, and you loved them even as you loved me. So what Jesus is praying in John chapter 17 is, I want them to know that you have loved them the way you've loved me. Let that blow your mind. What does the Father feel about the Son? That's what he feels about you. What does the Father say about the Son? Matthew chapter 3, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When you say yes to Jesus, you aren't signing up for doing the rules and regulations. You're signing up to have the righteousness of Christ wash over you so that when you stand before the Father, you bear the pleasure of the Father. You have the delight of the Father over you right now. You could have totally blown it yesterday. The fresh mercies of God washed you, made you whole. This is what was accomplished at the cross. It's been imparted to you through Jesus. It's not your perfect record that makes you his delight. It's not your perfection or your ability or your capacities. It's the perfection of God that's washed over you so that when the Father looks at you this morning, he says, well done, son, well done. You have the pleasure of the Father this morning. If you're here and you don't feel the glad heart of God, you need to be renewed. That's what the Bible is saying. Let your heart, mind be changed. Don't garage clean. Let your heart be set ablaze by what is true. Let your heart be set ablaze by what is true. You have the pleasure of the Father right now. If you're in Christ, you have the pleasure of the Father. It's in time to drop whatever the voice of the world is telling you to receive the implanted word. Number two, you are seen and you are chosen. You're seen and you're chosen. Deuteronomy chapter 7. God is speaking over his people. Says you're a people that are holy to the Lord, your God. The Lord, your God, has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who were on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You're chosen by God, not because you're big and mighty, not because of what you've done, chosen because he's incredibly kind. He chose you, picked you. Pastor, isn't that text about Israel from like forever ago? Isn't that really for us? Isn't he talking to Israel? Here, we'll do one better. Ephesians chapter 1. Even as he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the earth. If you are here and feeling skipped over, like you are not seen, not thought of, beloved, God picked you in him before the world came into being. Chose you, picked you, called you, brought you in. You're here and you feel second rate. Good news, you've been picked by the King. Chosen, seen. The Father has seen you, chosen you. He does it again. He'll choose you today. He chooses you tomorrow. He'll choose you the next day. And on your ugliest day, he chose you. You belong. When do we have to finish the service? 10:15. Soon. All right, we're going to get through this, and then we're just going to ask God to do it. May keep you over. It's God's fault. He wants to keep you here. You are clean and made new. You're clean and made new. So you need to hear this. You're wrestling with addiction and you feel shame and guilt pressing you down. And the word of God is declaring, for our sake, all of us, the Father made the Son to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him you and I could stand on a Sunday morning, freezing cold outside, slightly warm in here, to remember you have been made the righteousness of God in him. You don't know, Pastor, what I'm struggling with. I don't, he does. It doesn't overwhelm him. Whatever sin you've brought into the room, whatever brokenness you find yourself wrestling with, whatever is not working in your home, whatever's not working at your job, bring it all in here. The Father made the Son to become sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. You've been cleaned and made whole this morning, fresh, brand new. That's what you have. So if you feel beat down because the word of the enemy has told you you're trash. No, you're righteous. You're the holy chosen possession of God. And you're a conqueror over all things. You got circumstances that aren't great. Circumstances you'd like to change. Everybody in here has circumstances they would like to change. Maybe many you would like to try to control. The scripture says, who can take away from us what we have in Christ? Can tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or even death, sword. No, in all those things, you are more than conquerors through him who loved you. You are more than conquerors. Luke, you can come up. Or Micah, thank you. Beloved, hear this. This is fuel for how we live. This is how we go from doing the duty of Christianity to burning alive, hearts alive, set on fire, being transformed every day. What I just spoke over you, you need that today. One of those, if not all of them, you need it today. You will need it tomorrow morning. That's why we come to the Word. That's why we come to the words, to be transformed. So we'll just finish this morning to do that. Would you just ask the Father what he wants to speak over you right now? That's what we're going to just finish with, just a couple of minutes. Would you do this? We're just going to do a Romans 12. Would you just show up to God? If you've been keeping God kind of at an arm's distance, it's okay. Would you just show up to him and just tell him? Here's my whole life, God. Here's what I don't want to talk about. Here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what I feel incredible shame and guilt over. Here's where I have totally fallen short. Here's where I've failed. Here's what I need. Bring the whole thing right now. Just show up. Tell him. Here's what's not working. Presenting my body as a living sacrifice. Now, I lay down what is false and what is not true. I lay down the lies. Would you just lay it down? If you've been feeling condemnation, lay it down. Feel overwhelmed? Lay it down. Right now, before the Lord, just between you and him, lay it down. Now, as you lay down, what does the Father want to say to you right now? Just ask him. Father, what do you want to say? What does the Father want to say to you? That's why his Spirit is here. He's here to convince you, to tell you the truth. So ask him, what do I need today, Father? Receive his glad heart, his favor, his choosing, his forgiveness, his mercy. Receive, receive it. You got fuel for today. You got fuel for today. A heart that's alive. Father, I thank you that you're speaking even now, directing our hearts to what is true, above the conventional ways of the world. We receive. We thank you that you're always speaking by your word to us. We bless you. It's in your name we pray. If you guys would stand with me, I'm going to just pray our closing, our benediction. We're going to have just a few prayer partners. If there's a way we can pray with you, connect with you, care for you, we're going to be available here as we close out. Let me bless you in Christ as you go. And I would just say this, if you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, never asked him to wash you and cover you and give you everything I just described, you can do that even now, this morning. You can have that with him. It can be fresh for you. There's an open invitation by the heart of God. So come receive. If you want prayer, well, pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior and King, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings, guys. Love you. We'll see y'all next week.